Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting. The Intersection Live podcast series is brought to you by ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community.
Hi, this is technology editor Isaac Matthew O'Bannon. And here's my column from the August 2008 issue of the CPA Technology Advisor. Please note that this is the first part of a two-part column, so be sure to check back in September for the second part. Web 2.0 continues Internet's evolution. What is Web 2.0? It seems that just about every technology vendor is using the phrase Web 2.0 these days, but for those who are waiting to see some dramatic new product or technology arise, well, you can stop holding your breath. Web 2.0 is already here, and it has been for a few years now. But for those of you still wondering what exactly is Web 2.0, well, that's a little more difficult to explain. You see, Web 2.0 is nothing. It is not a new version of the web, nor is it a new version of specifications for the web. It's not a patch or an update of any definable nature. It's not even related to specific websites. Heck, it isn't really even a new technology, per se. So what is it? Web 2.0 was initially coined to mean using the web as a platform for development of new programs and interactive tools. But its definition is really dependent on how users implement these functions. As such, my definition is that Web 2.0 is you and me, the users of the Internet, as well as the developers who design programs that run across the web. The word programs is key here, because the best definition of Web 2.0 is that it is a change in the way we use the Internet for productivity, collaboration, and information sharing. But more than being just an extension of existing tools that have been made web accessible, applications in the Web 2.0 paradigm are designed specifically and exclusively for online usage. They are, in short, things that essentially couldn't exist in another format. The early Internet, now sometimes jokingly referred to as Web 1.0, was often referred to as a phone book of sorts, perhaps an encyclopedia omnis of everything, to use the Latin term. It was essentially static, allowing users to read or view information, even play games or perform some other limited functions. But aside from email, there really wasn't human interaction. Additionally, the functions these sites provided already existed in non-digital forms, so simply putting them online was not really a new concept. Likewise, many computer programs, including professional tax and accounting programs, were made accessible via the Internet, but were essentially the same program and were often still hosted on a desktop PC. The programs were merely accessed remotely and had the same or sometimes even less functionality. Web 1.0 websites still exist, of course. Now, the actual term Web 2.0 was coined in 2004 by Tim O'Reilly, founder of O'Reilly Media, a leading technology publisher. But as he defined it, the changes that come from the core of Web 2.0 concept actually started coming years before the term. As the Internet matured and access to high-speed connections increased, developers started taking greater advantage of the inherent collaborative nature and began creating websites and programs that took advantage of these qualities. So interaction is one of the keys. Initially, websites began to display Web 2.0 characteristics with greater interaction capabilities by their users. Auction sites like eBay thrived, and other static sites evolved, such as with the extension of Craigslist from what was originally just a job posting board into a much more interactive network. Wikipedia emerged as much more than just an online encyclopedia by enabling any person to make entries and edits while under the purview of more seasoned and responsible users. If interaction with other people is considered one of the defining elements, then the early bulletin board listings could almost be considered a precursor to today's social networking sites which may be the epitome of Web 2.0 styled websites. The likes of MySpace, Facebook, Friendster, and others have become core interaction methods for not only many of today's youth, but also professionals who use marketing-oriented sites like LinkedIn and Plaxo. Other sites like Flickr have enabled the sharing of photos. Online map resources like Google Maps, Yahoo Maps, and MapQuest, which once provided maps, have added locations of restaurants, retailers, and other businesses that users can search for while viewing maps. This has also added greatly to the revenue of the map websites. Joining in on the movement, traditional news and information websites that were once static, web versions of the newspaper, they started implementing networking tools, some of which interface with social networks to allow like-minded people to note articles of interest. Such tools include Digit, Reddit, and Delicious. Blogs evolved into a similar fashion, once being mere pseudo-diaries, then adding in the ability for others to post entries, and more recently with the inclusion of RSS, Real Simple Syndication, which can alert those interested users to updates or articles that might meet their interests. Collaboration is another key, though. One of the keys to the real Web 2.0, in fact, certainly for business purposes, is the ability to use these functions and others to actually get work done. This means turning simple interaction capabilities, like those found in the above websites for social networking, to turn them into real collaboration tools that enable users to share not only static completed documents, but also the ability for multiple people working in remote areas to access and work on the same items simultaneously. Groove Networks, which was acquired by Microsoft a couple of years ago, was one of the pioneers in terms of developing an online program geared toward group communication and document collaboration using a shared workspace. Websites that used to specialize in searching and directory services have also boarded the bus on this line. The king of all search engines, Google, of course, is one of the most notable examples of this, with the company now offering Google Apps, which is a collection of communication and collaboration tools that includes Google Docs, as well as a spreadsheet calendaring and team information sharing. Computer-based phone functions, not just IP-based, but computer-driven telephone software like Skype can also be classified as Web 2.0 advancements, letting users make phone calls over the Internet free of charge. Of course, you have to buy the devices. The look, feel, and operation of websites and applications are major components of the Web 2.0 paradigm, both when it comes to implementing new tools and functions and when it comes to providing online alternatives to PC-based programs. In the second part of this column, coming in September, I'll discuss the development side of Web 2.0 as well as its effects upon software, particularly web-based programs that are designed for tax and accounting professionals. We'll also look at the developments for this profession that have come up recently and the ongoing evolution of Web 2.0. Heck, I'll even try to provide a more concrete definition, but as subjective as Web 2.0 is, you just know it when you know it. Thanks for taking the time to listen, and don't forget to catch the second half of this column in September, either in print, online, or via podcast, here at the CPA Technology Advisors Intersection Live. This is Isaac O'Bannon, Technology Editor, signing off.
For more information about the CPA Technology Advisors' other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit www.cpatechadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcast, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106, or tune into future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via TalkShoe.com.